October 3rd, 2005, item number 92. Today's guest is Rob Greenlee from the Web Talk Radio Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Rob, a couple quick news and notes. First, yesterday, had a good time on the other side of the microphone. Joe over at rootsmart.com interviewed me for his podcast. Right now, he's getting that uploaded into Libsyn right now. I think currently it is on his own server. Once he gets it on Libsyn, I will go ahead and put a link for that in the show notes. Joe, thanks for interviewing me. Also, I'd like to call out to everyone, this is not just my show. I like to make this your show also. So if you have tech tips, rants, and especially if you have stories where you try to explain podcasting that you'd like to share with the audience, I really would appreciate those. We have another one today, and actually we're going to get into it right here. This is feedback from Joshua from boyswearpants.com and how he explains podcasting. Here we go.
Hey, Rob, my name's Joshua Minton, and I'm over at boyswearpants.com, and you asked for interesting stories or ways that you can explain podcasting to the people around you, and my way is I just tell them, you know, it's a blogcast, because I really, you know, I put a little audio button, they can play it from my blog, or they can subscribe to the podcast, and then they say, well, what's the podcast? And I say, it's basically a pirate radio station that you control on the internet. I mean, you control all the advertising if you want to put it in there. You control the editing and the producing. You have no budget, so you have to basically earn people's attention, you know, like the First Amendment implies that we should. So, and then, of course, that gets into a whole political debate on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that, so then they don't even care about podcasting by the end. But anyhow, I thought that was just one way to explain it, that you can put your own stuff on there. I mean, you're still subject to copyright. You can talk about what you want, and you got to promote it yourself, and then, you know, eventually people, it gets picked up by the connectors, and then it gets networked. So I just basically explain it to people that it's the easier way to communicate online. So, all right, buddy, well, I love your show. I've listened to, like, past 12 of them. So you're a true sage in your field. Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
Joshua, thanks for that feedback. If you'd like to leave feedback like that, please call 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. You can also send me MP3 files at podcast411@gmail.com. And again, that goes back to sending rants or tech tips to the same address. Would love to get you involved in the show. We're going to go ahead now and get into our interview with Rob Greenlee from the Web Talk Radio Podcast. This is one of the earliest podcasts. Rob is definitely one of the pioneers in podcasting. So take a listen to some good advice here. Here we go. Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here, Rob.
First question, what was your first computer?
What was my first computer? It was a 486 machine that I had back in the early 80s, back when I was in college. You know, it's an IBM, you know, with a whole fat 20 megabyte hard drive.
Ooh.
Back in the early
days. Smoking.
Smoking. It was screaming. I had a great time. I, you know, had the monochrome green screen and all that kind of stuff. I was doing Lotus 1-2-3 and Word. Back in that time, I was not really into computers very much. You know, it was really in the early days, and I was in college and trying to get a marketing degree. So, you know, computers weren't really much on my radar. I mean, I remember taking a class in BASIC and basically causing things to repeat on the screen was my class project. And I also did a little BASIC programming for my marketing research class when I was in college. So trying to analyze market research data and things like that.
Your show goes back quite a ways. It was obviously pre-podcasting. You were doing an internet radio show. How far back does your show go?
I started in February of 1999, was when I walked into a broadcast radio station here in the Seattle area and asked the radio station if they had a technology program of any sort, because I was helping a lot of people build websites and help them with the search engines. Back in the late 90s, I was doing a lot with that, with people building sites and things. So I figured I'd spread the word a little bit more. It was a marketing vehicle for me to walk into a broadcast radio station and start talking about the web and the internet. I learned a lot over a relatively short period of time and wanted to share some of that knowledge. And they had an opening on Saturday at 11 a.m. And I just walked in with a couple other people, and my wife included, and we sat down and started having fun with the web and the internet for an hour every Saturday morning. Yeah, I basically got that on a tape, and I brought it home, and I popped it into a $19 cassette player and played it into my computer, and I started creating an MP3 file back then. And I started actually streaming my show through Live 365 back in 99, and that's kind of what got me started in the whole thing. And then I made actually an MP3 available off of my site as a download in, I think it was mid-2000. Because, I mean, I was making an MP3 file for streaming through Live 365. So I figured, you know, why not put a link to it and have people can download it? Because that was back in the time when the Audible site was, you know, making an MP3 player. So that was in the early days of, you know, those portable media players. So there were people out there taking these things on the road as far back as 2000. So
when was it that you started to do work with the RSS part of it?
What happened was back in the middle part of 2004, actually it was the early part of 2004, I started putting the plans in place to building a new website off of a new domain name that I had, Web Talk Radio. Because for most of my broadcasting time with the show, I was at webtalkguys.com. I had this new domain, and then I was having a new website built. And when I did that, I was hearing all this talk about the RSS enclosure thing, and blogging was starting to take off. This enclosure thing, I thought was a pretty simple thing for me to add to my blog off my website. So I just had them build it in when my site was built. Basically, I had that in the plan almost probably 6 months before podcasting actually started. And it was a pure coincidence that I launched my RSS feed with enclosures at almost the exact same time that Adam launched his podcatching client. So
good timing.
All of the stars aligned at that moment, and as it turned out, and at the time I didn't really even think about it, but we were the first broadcast radio show, because back then I was on about 12 broadcast radio stations around the country, to actually start podcasting. I had no idea when I first started podcasting that it was going to become as big as it is today. I mean, really. I mean, I thought, you know, it was interesting and novel that people could take the MP3s on the road with them in an MP3 player, but as I've said prior here, that was something I'd been doing for a long time. So for me, it didn't seem all that novel. What was different about it for me really was that it certainly was more convenient for people to get my file now. But really what I started to see was changes in the actual content piece, and I blogged about that quite a bit. You know, I mean, a lot of people got caught up in the whole distribution revolution that was brought to it, but I started to see fundamental changes in how people were thinking about how they were producing their shows. So I really saw podcasting as just another way of more easily distributing my show at the time it really started.
Now, at the time when podcasting started, what were some of the first podcasts you listened to?
There actually weren't very many out there, actually, the more I think about it. I think I listened to Dave Schlesinger quite a bit, actually, in the early days. Dave's show and ours kind of had a little bit of a banter going back and forth between us.
Are there any podcasts that you're listening to on a regular basis? Anything new?
I listen to audio from the IT Conversations site. I actually do a show at IT Conversations on a regular basis. But there's a lot of terrific content that comes out of that, too. And I also listen to the Geek News Central podcast with Todd Cochran. He's a good friend of mine. So, you know, I work, you know, a lot with him with the Tech Podcast Network. So, and then Mitch Radcliffe, he's a co-host on my show. I listen to his blog quite often as well.
Now, I hope you're listening to Dana's podcast.
Well, of course. Well, I'm actually involved in her podcast. So.
And what's the name of her podcast for the listeners? Because it's brand new.
Well, yeah, she's doing a podcast about the Boston Legal television show, and it's called Boston Illegal. It basically talks about each episode of the Boston Legal TV show, and she plays excerpts, audio excerpts from the actual TV show, and then her and I comment about each of the significant episode segments within each episode. So we're kind of moving into that whole side of things, and she's actually become the CBS podcaster. So we went down to Los Angeles here recently and recorded about 34 conversations with the CBS fall lineup of TV shows.
So. Now, congratulations on that.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
It was good to hear that someone that was in the podcasting community won the podcast CBS Podcast Award, and it wasn't somebody that was big media or someone from an NPR station or something like that, or someone who had never done it before. So that was good. I know John from the M Show also sent you out similar congratulations.
Yeah, well, it was great, you know, hearing from everybody and being supportive on that front, because I think CBS is really trying to do something revolutionary, and their head guy, that's in charge of their site and everything, basically founded the CBS Market Watch site.
In your interviews that when you were down there in LA and you're talking to some of the celebrities and talking about podcasting, did any of the celebrities mention any independent podcasts they were listening to, or are they all listening to big media podcasts?
I would have to say that the vast majority of them mentioned public radio podcasts, actually. Is the ones we spoke with Jeff Probst, and he talked about listening to podcasts that were being done by Hollywood's producers or whatever that they were talking about.
So none were listening to Keith and the Girl or Dawn and Drew or anything like that?
I didn't hear any of them mention any names in relation to an independent podcaster. It was all related to some national public radio program that they really liked.
Now, is Dana going to get to interview William Shatner?
I would think someday she's going to probably do that.
You guys should cross-promote with Look at His Butt. Now, that is a podcast about talking about William Shatner's butt and other things geeky.
The creativity of the podcast community never ceases to amaze me.
Let's talk about your show. Tell the listeners what your podcast, Web Talk Radio, is about.
That's an interesting question from the standpoint that that's the same question I ask myself every week, is what is our show about? And that's what I try and answer every week. But I'm kind of, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've been playing with a lot of different things and trying to come up with something unique, something different every week that can keep people interested. My show has evolved a lot over the years. Back from when we first started the show, I had basically 3 co-hosts. It was basically a group talk, kind of a type of a program, and we talked about the latest happenings with the news and things like that with the internet back in the fluffy days of the World Wide Web, when there was a lot of hype and not a lot of substance. And what I've evolved to, and when we were on 12 broadcast radio stations, which we are not on right now, and haven't been on for quite a few months now, I was doing more what I would consider to be a kind of like a consumer type show. It was not really heavy tech discussion, and was trying to be kind of fun with it a little bit and not really diving into too heavy of tech topics. But since I've gone pretty much total podcast and online, I've kind of evolved the show into talking in more detail about technology topics at what I consider to be a fairly high level that would appeal to more of a technology professional or more of a person that has a passion for the internet. We're on KYOU out of San Francisco, the podcasting station, and they're broadcasting a half-hour version of our show. And we actually were on CNET Radio in San Francisco for about 2 years with our full show. It's been good to get back on and broadcast down in San Francisco again, because we had a lot of listeners down in that market for quite a while on CNET. So we're there, and then we're also on a 50,000-watt station up here in Seattle that broadcasts our show on Tuesday nights. But most of my distribution now is all online now, which has really been the case. I mean, even when I was on broadcast on 12 radio stations, the vast majority of my listeners were online even back then. So, because broadcast radio really doesn't pull that much listener. I mean, unless you're on a major station in a major market, you really don't pull that much listeners.
What is a typical radio station, a 50,000-watt radio station? What kind of reach does it have? Do they expect for per show how many thousand listeners?
You know, if you're talking about a typical talk radio station, I've had many clients that I've worked with to help them get into broadcast radio that have been on major broadcast stations. Now, they've had to pay to get there, but the ratings that I've heard have been anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people listening to a one-hour program.
So that puts you in the top tier of podcasting.
Well, yeah. Well,
there's not too many that have more than 10,000. I mean, very few podcasts have more than 10,000 listeners.
Yeah. Well, and I think that one of the things that's happened from my perspective, because when I first started doing my show online and up to a little over a year ago, there weren't really that many audio programs online. So my show was a lot larger before podcasting started. I mean, I'll be honest with you, because there wasn't a lot of choice online. And since podcasting has kicked off and now there's, 1,000 technology talk programs, what's happened is the audience online has been fragmented. You know, I've lost a lot of listeners that have gone over to other shows that maybe the listener liked more, or it was talking about a topic that was of more interest to them, because for many years I was doing my show and I was picking topics, different topics every week, but in any given time, maybe the topic I was talking about didn't match up with my audience. So I had a lot of pass-through listeners, essentially, that were coming through, but my numbers were a lot higher. But since podcasting has really exploded, there's just been so much more choice for people out there.
What are you using hardware-wise to do your recording, and what software are you recording on and editing with?
I had built a fairly expensive studio back when I started my show. You know, when I took it out of the radio station and I started producing it on an on-demand basis, pre-recorded program, I built out a studio. I got the real expensive condenser microphones. They're like $700 microphones, and I got the Gettner and, you know, the $1,500 dual digital Gettner and this 12-channel mixer board and all that stuff in the real high-end recording software called Cubasis, which actually is a 12-channel input into a computer to actually record. So I actually record my show in that system right now, today, and then I export that out of that system and really edit and encode my show in my laptop, essentially.
What software are you using on the laptop?
I use SoundForge, and then I use a variety of programs to encode and wave clean and optimize the audio. And those are all processes that I really had to do to really keep up the quality of the recordings that I've done for IT Conversations as well as my program. So I really strive for a really high quality recording, because frankly, you know, Doug K really requires that of all of their programs to really have a high level.
Well, Doug's just a slave driver, so.
Well, he is, and I'm the only show right now that's actually doing end-to-end production of a program for him. So his staff of people that work on shows doesn't even touch my show. So I do all of the booking and coding and recording and editing and formatting and everything for IT Conversations.
What advice would you like to offer out to those starting a podcast today?
I think that the number one thing that new podcasters have to really think about is producing content that's of high value and high quality. Because I think the early days of creating a show that was novel and that there was an audience for it because it was something unique, and I think are really kind of going away. And I think as more and more people start podcasting, if you want to build, now many people aren't going to want to build a huge audience. Necessarily, that's not going to be a criteria for them for success. But if you do, you're really going to have to focus on producing the highest value that you can at the highest quality, because that's going to be the ultimate differentiator that I think we're going to see come into the marketplace as a way to build an audience. Now, if you're not concerned about building a larger audience for sponsorship or anything like that, then I think that it's wide open. You can do whatever you want to do and be as creative or not worry about, you know, a lot of details as far as audio quality if you're just using it as something of a hobby or something fun to do. So just really focus on, you know, what your passion is and do the best that you can, I guess.
Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, it's great to speak with you.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Rob Greenlee from the Web Talk Radio podcast. You can find that show at webtalkradio.com. Rob, thanks again for coming on the show. Coming up at the end of today's show, we're going to play a promo from the Griddle Cakes radio podcast, so please stick around for that. And yes, it's a new month, so time for me to beg once again for votes at Podcast Alley. And also, while you're putting out votes, please remember to pick us as one of your favorites on Podcast Pickle. This takes about 5 minutes of your time, and if you've made it through to the end of this podcast, then you've sat through 10 hours of my labor to get you to this point. So each of these shows is about 10 hours of work, and all I ask is 5 minutes from you once a month to go out to Podcast Alley and vote for us, to let other people know where to find information about how to podcast and about podcasters. So there, that was my beg, plea, and grovel, so please go out and vote. Did I mention voting? Yes, please vote. Please make sure you check the show notes and links at podcast411.com. As always, this is your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hi, this is Ron from Griddle Cakes Radio. Are you looking for a family, work-safe podcast that'll make you smile? If so, swing by griddlecakes.com. Once there, you'll hear things such as a musician's trade organization threatening to sue Thomas Edison over his phonograph record machine. They've made their living this way their entire careers, and you, Mr. Edison, you have taken this living away.
Yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, we can't sit back and allow this piracy to go on any longer. Here.
What's this?
It's a cease and desist letter. You are to stop manufacturing phonograph record machines immediately.
You're kidding, right? Am I on candid camera?
Or, did you ever wonder what animals actually do at night? No. No. Wait. No. Cut. 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 Stop. What are you doing? You sound like a bunch of animals.
But we are animals.
But don't you see? We don't have to be. We can be much better than animals. We can be musicians.
Griddlecakes Radio, exploring the lost art of audio storytelling. Check us out at www.griddlecakes.com.